Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Hour number two of this Tuesday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Today is Tuesday, January 19th, 2016. As I said at the end of the last hour, Stan Dale will not be joining us tonight.
You can wish him a happy anniversary.
Yeah.
You send him an email, send him and Holly an email saying, happy anniversary.
I was just going to say that everything was okay on their end, but they just, Stan will not be with us till next Tuesday. And I did not know it was their anniversary. Probably because I didn't listen to the full voicemail. I just tried to call him back before.
I spoke with Stan earlier, and you know, next week when he comes, I got to tell you, he's done a lot of research into the scriptural aspect of the setting up for the Antichrist.
And we've done a lot of talking with him on our show on the breaking down of his different theories and different people that he's suspected and has been looking out for. And the, you know, we've seen this grow right in front of our eyes, and for him to continue to study and to get deeper into it on our show, that will just be fantastic for the listeners and for us as well.
Exactly. Now, our very special guest for this hour is a very busy woman, Sheila Zielinski, and you can find out all about Sheila Zielinski at weekendvigilante.com. I keep wanting to put, keep wanting to say the, but it's weekendvigilante.com, which will be linked off of our websites, and also Green Gospel, greengospel.ca. If you haven't visited Green Gospel, you got to do it. And in terms of the most compelling book, if you want ammunition to put down forever and ever the lies about, about global warming and really understand what this climate change business, I said business deliberately, is all about. Green Gospel. Okay? Green Gospel, the New World Religion. I'm going to tell you something. This book, in her book, Sheila Zielinski effectively demolishes most of what you think you know, that according to Dr. Timothy Ball. And of course, she unmasks the true supernatural manifesting of arm of evil, revealing the green movement and more. And that's from Steve Quayle.
Timothy Ball has been a guest on our show with Sheila in the past.
Brilliant.
And, he definitely knows what he's talking about. Now with you, Sheila, and in this hour, let's get into your book, Green Gospel, The New World Religion, and as much as you want to get into it without giving too much away.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I really appreciate you doing that. So giving your listeners a little bit of background, I was a really high top-level government executive. I was working for Environment, very similar to the EPA, and was in line for an assistant deputy minister in Ministry of Environment. And so it's kind of, again, equivalent to your EPA. And, of course, I stumbled across confidential information in 2006, and it led me to speak out against the fraud of anthropogenic global warming. Now, that's a fancy word for man-made. So, again, it was stunning what Christine Stewart, the Minister of Environment for Canada Feds, said, that we don't care if global warming is real or imagined. It's big money. And so after she made that statement, I really went on a rampage to show and expose this agenda, because this book really shows you that the green agenda is the grandest of all tyrannical schemes. It'll follow the history, and it chronicles the process and the exploitation for this communist anti-religion agenda. And it's very pantheistic. So I really recommend that people understand it's not about the environment. The issue's never been the issue, but it's become like this tsunami of globalism. And really, which's frightening, I had on Mark Morano on my show back in December, and he came on with the Climate Roundtable with a couple of other fellows that were in the belly of the beast back in Paris at COP21 just several weeks ago. And what the Pope was calling for, and I don't know when the Pope became a climatologist, or Leonardo DiCaprio for that matter, but you know, I kind of get into this very absurd idea that the Pope issued back in April of this year in a stunning move, and this was a frightening move. I would think Catholics would have been in a fervent uproar, descending on the, you know, the conclave like a swarm of mad locusts. But what he did is he kind of put his moral authority, Doug and Joe, behind a stunning encyclical. This was a 182-page document that basically said, hey, listen up, Catholics. You're going to bow down to Mother Gaia and like it because you plebs are giving Mother Gaia a fever. And that's actually what Al Gore has said on record. Now, Dave Hodges said something. The clergy response team, when they were training for the NORAD training, you know what they were told? They were told that long Christianity has been an oppressive force. Well, Al Gore actually says that very statement in his book, Earth in the Balance. He said that, you know, we have to start thinking about the fact that humans, the fact that they breathe. Now, Gore claims the IPCC, which is a fancy little group. The UN has a little climate change panel, and that's the gold standard of scientific community. That's what Obama says. So the fact is, he accepts without question that carbon dioxide, what you and Doug and Joe breathe it out, we all do, that causes runaway global warming temperatures. Now, according to geological experts, shifts, now get this, get a pen, folks, shifts in CO2, because you hear it all the time, you hear carbon emissions, CO2, they have no correlation to global warming. CO2 has nothing to do with temperature, has nothing to do with climate change. It, in fact, every record, Doug and Joe, from any period, that's any time period in the Earth's history, including the medieval warm period, temperature increases before CO2 does. That's in complete contradiction to the IPCC claim that CO2 increase causes temperature increase. So the most fundamental assumption of their whole claim is absolutely wrong. And the only place in the world, on the planet, where CO2 increases before temperature is in the good old computer models, the doctored computer models that, of course, Michael Mann was implicated in ClimateGate on. Anything that Ross McKintock fed into that, Doug and Joe, they put a litany of different numbers into those algorithms, and it produced a hockey stick protruding up 99% of the time. So there's so much hucksterism, is that a good word, that is involved with this?
Oh, yeah.
Very much, yeah.
And what do you say to, I mean, there have been cases we see, especially in the UK and in Europe, where they're coming after, they say, the deniers of global warming, man-made global warming. We know you personally went through some of these governmental, you know, I don't even know what you call them, just crackdowns on differing of opinions or differing of science. Well, are we going to see more of this? And do we expect to see this in the United States, where climate deniers and those who believe that man-made global warming is a farce to be persecuted?
Well,
prosecuted
this way. Al Gore's good pal Naomi Oreskes, she's an affiliate professor of Earth and Planetary Sciences. There's a handle at Harvard, and she likes the ideas of having climate deniers like Sheila Zelinsky prosecuted under the RICO Act. As a matter of fact, I'm getting sued over my book Green Gospel because of Michael Mann and David Suzuki have a little front group. So, you know, they want me to just shut up and go away. So this is what Naomi Oreskes has actually said this on record, Doug. You'd appreciate this. Prosecuted under the RICO Act. Now, I'm sure everybody's aware of the Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act, and Mr., as I call him, David the Hack Suzuki, Mr. Nature of Things. He's always running around saying that species are all dying out every week because of those beer-guzzling, pizza-gobbling, useless-eating plebs that are giving Mother Gaia fever. Now, Al Gore actually said at a group of, he was actually talking to a bunch of students in Toronto, and one of the students said, Mr. Gore, excuse me, but hasn't there been an 18-year trend of cooling? And this is what Al Gore said. I'm sure your listeners will love this one. Well, this is what he said on record. Global cooling, that's true, it has been cooling, but global warming is causing global cooling. Global warming is causing global cooling. I mean, get real, Doug and Joe.
NOAA has been caught manipulating temperature data for the break in the warming periods or the global cooling period over the last 15 to 18 years. NOAA has been caught going back and rounding up the figures of worldwide temperatures to make the global cooling period disappear. What do you say to that? because we have a lot, you know, the UN and other international bodies say, no, no, there's nothing here. Congressional hearings try to bring it up, and they get, labeled as trying to bring up, you know, party divisions and whatnot. I mean, any and everything to skirt away from the real issue.
Well, this is the problem, is you have these really huckster groups like the IPCC, who, I might add, gets a lot of their information from NOAA. It's the Oceanographic. It's basically under NASA's James Hansen's department, and they really look at temperature increase. So people might want to type that in a Google search. So what they do, though, and this is the stunning part, Rajendra Pachura was the head of the IPCC, this climate, well, it's actually called the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, but in my book, I call them the International Panel of Climate Crooks, because they admit on record right on their website that they're not even a scientific body. That's frightening. And yet Obama says they're the gold standard of climate science, but they say right on their website that they're not a scientific body. Now, what Pachura said in an interview, people can look this up in the New York Times, he actually said this before he was let go for, well, we'll just say him and his pedophile pals were charged in a ring, and then he resigned his position back in February last year. But this was the guy that was chairing this committee, who was also a railway engineer. I'm not sure what that has to do with climate, but he actually said on record, this job, it wasn't just a job to me. It was my dharma, my religion. Now, here's a Vedic mystic, you know, kind of like a guy into mysticism and Vedic Hinduism. And he actually said on records that humans are a problem. So think about that. The fact that you exhale CO2. Now, what's really frightening is the EPA got classified, EPA, as a harmful pollutant. So what you breathe out is a problem to these people. So the very God-given necessary byproduct for human life, or as I call it, plant food, you know, it's being demonized as a harmful, deadly pollutant. So that in itself, if people just step back and think about the implications for that, what you breathe out is deadly. It's a pollutant. And so if you have CO2 levels dropping off in the earth below 160 parts per million, we all die. So if anything, CO2 should be increased. You see that in the greenhouse gases. So it's amazing how, under the guise of this very benevolent, hey, we're going to live sustainably, sustainability and eco-friendly, because it sounds good. It doesn't sound malevolent, but it's really very nefarious and insidious, Doug and Joe.
You know, I find it very interesting, Sheila, that back in May last year, the Australian Prime Minister's chief business advisor said that climate change, and I quote, is a ruse led by the United Nations to create a new world order under the agency's control. And the statement made, of course, coincided with a visit from the UN's top climate negotiator. And Maurice Newman, the chairman of Prime Minister Tony Abbott's Business Advisory Council, said that the UN is using false models which show sustained temperature increases because it wants to end democracy and impose authoritarian rule. And I'll just read one more quote here, which really amplifies what you said. He said, it's a well-kept secret, but 95% of the climate models, we are told, prove the link between the human CO2 emissions and catastrophic global warming have been found after nearly two decades of temperature stasis to be in error. So, everything that you have written and stated has been endorsed or confirmed by the people who are behind the scenes and now coming out or have come out and said this is all a takeover. This is all a consolidation of power under basically a new world, one world government of authoritarian rule. I mean, this is not about climate at all, is it?
No, it's really not. And what's frightening about that guy was actually talking to a UN insider, and they came out and said, hey, listen, this is a ruse is a good word that you just used, Doug. And this is where, you know, I kind of start off in my book about this is a very ancient pantheistic religion that really dominated the Egyptian, the Babylonian, and Grecian Roman empires. And it probably started with the Moabites. I don't get into that. I was thinking of the Amorites, the Moabites, and all those ites. You know, kind of at the these pagan groups from the time of Moses and before Lot, who was Abraham's nephew, he was really the progenitor of the Ammonites. And so I get into a little bit on the Nimrod connection, but I basically move it up in history and I explain how this stuff really got kick-started with Karl Marx. And I say, in order to understand this green agenda, it's critical to know the ideas of this self-professed, I mean, that guy, Karl Marx, was frightening. He was a self-professed Satanist. He wrote some, I mean, everybody knows the Communist Manifesto. And he kind of began his rebellion against God. He was a student of University of Berlin. He was strongly influenced by philosopher George Hegel and his followers, the young Hegelians. And their goal was straightforward. It goes right back to Al Gore's book, Earth in the Balance. Eliminate Christianity, you know, this oppressive force. So in 1848, Marx and Engels, they presented this final formula for world revolution. They called it, what did I just say, the Communist Manifesto. So in chapter two, they actually state the central objective of a new world order. They talk about, Doug, depopulation, the abolition of private property, destroying foundations of capitalist economy. I mean, he absolutely loathed the American ideals of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So they really created this floodgate for another form of tyranny. So it really comes down to environmentalism, as I call it, the new religion for the new age. Now, interesting that Václav Klaus, he was the former president of the Czech Republic. He lived through communism. He was very aware of it. And so he explained in a really amazing book that I read back in 2007 called Blue Planet in Green Shackles. And what he says on page five is he says, there is another threat on the horizon. And I see this threat in environmentalism, which is becoming a new dominant ideology, if not a religion. And that's really how I thought this is a gospel of green. So that's where I came up with my book title. And I call the first chapter Watermelons because it really is green on the outside, but it's the blood red communist ideology that's fused throughout of this. And so, you know, when Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels, they appealed to these founders of collectivism because it contradicts a structure founded on belief in God. They promoted a totally different moral system through advanced education. They think that we can kind of become masters of the universe with no room for anything other than their so-called truth. And this ties into Darwinism. It ties into how Hitler took political control. You know, I mean, even Stalin, I mean, we know he directly or indirectly murdered more people than any political person in history. So if you've got Karl Marx and you've got guys like Stalin, Mao Zedong, I mean, look at these guys. It's frightening how many people these guys killed. And so, you know, you think about Nixon, he didn't just create the EPA, but he signed the National Environmental Policy Act, or NEPA, which people can put that in a search. And that required environmental impact assessments for all projects, not just large-scale federal product. So Marx and Engels and Ehrlich, I call them the conjoined Marxist triplets, they actually wrote this stunning book. And, you know, they really believed that Reverend Thomas Malthus, who believed that population growth would exceed the food supply, playing right out of Marx's playbook. Paul Ehrlich, listen to this now, this is important, a Stanford University professor, and of course he's long opined there are far too many people requiring far too many resources, just like Joe and I played a clip, remember Joe, of good old Ted Turner. I call Bill Gates and Ted Turner, Bill and Ted's Excellent Depopulation Adventure, that's a new movie. So anyway, they actually said that there was going to be a population bomb, and actually that's the name of Ehrlich's book. And who signed his dust jacket cover? A Tennessee senator named Al Gore. So we see how these people are, you know, frighteningly into this fact that we should put sterilants in the water. We have to do something with this incredible, you know, population growth that's going to exceed the food supply. So that's what these guys have done, and this is where we're at today.
You know, I just cannot, well, folks, it's, there's so much information that Sheila has brought out just in the 20 minutes here, or 15 minutes that she's been talking just now about this. And I just want to draw your attention, ladies and gentlemen, because we've done programs about, for example, the Georgia Guidestones. Okay, now remember that little segment we did, ladies and gentlemen, about the Georgia Guidestones?
Yeah, last Thursday.
Right, and who was behind that? When you look, and Chris Pinot did a fantastic job about those Georgia Guidestones in a DVD, and it turned out to be an Iowa physician who was a front man for a group of people. And if you start deconstructing the dots, or connecting the dots and deconstructing the structure that's been erected in terms of the agenda, you can see who's behind this. And you know what, Sheila? It does trace to some interesting, it has some interesting nexus points with exactly what you're talking about. Depopulation. And not just depopulation, but a massive depopulation and eugenics, especially against, I'm sorry, but blacks, or anyone seemingly having an inferior intellect. And this goes back to, again, what you said, 1848, the publication of the Communist Manifesto by Moses Mordecai Marx Levy, otherwise known as Karl Marx, a member of an Illuminati front organization called the League of the Just. And, of course, his attitude toward God is reflected in your book, Green Gospel, because he stated, "We must war against all prevailing ideas of religion, of the state, of the country, and of patriotism." So there he's attacking religion, organized, well, I shouldn't say organized, but the monotheistic religions, the three primary monotheistic religions, to take down and replace it with Gaia worship, or the more familiar climate control. And the occult significance, Sheila, and I'm going to be quiet and turn it back over to you, of the Paris conference that they had recently. The occult significance there is so extremely important. Once you understand exactly what was going on, the dates, the messages conveyed from that climate conference, where Gore was, wasn't Gore, Sheila, wasn't he given a standing ovation? Was it Gore? No, it was Kerry, I think it was. One of them was given
John
a standing
Kerry.
Ovation. Yeah.
Well,
so
yeah,
all of this. Yeah, go ahead, Sheila.
You're so right. There is a lot of nuances that are tied into the occult. Of course, we know that even National Socialism, Hitler was really kind of the first environmentalist. They drank deep from Heckel's social Darwinism, and more than a few Nazis were very attracted to the early forms of environmentalism. You've got Martin Bormann, people can look that up. The Führer himself, he had his fingers in the green pie that the National Socialism offered to Germany. So as early as 35, Doug, that's 1935, Nazi Germany was above the greenest regime on the planet. And so look at what Marx stated in Das Kapital. That actually, Hitler commented on that. He saw nature, not humankind, as supreme. And he actually said on record that the environment has to be protected from commercial development, stating that, and people can look this quote up, man must not fall into the error of thinking that he was ever meant to be lord and master of nature. Well, what does God say in the Bible? We're not to be worshiping the creation. We're to be worshiping the creator. So Hitler perceived pollution as a direct result of capitalism. And what's stunning, and of course, you have these guys that were into the deep ecology. And what's really, I guess it's devastating remark that he made. He said, you know, I put into practices what these peddlers and pushers, pen pushers, you know, talking about the whole of National Socialism being based on Karl Marx. So Hitler's fatherland, that meant everything to him. And privately, he was in these groups, as Steve Quayle brought out in his book so well, The Empire Beneath the Ice. He gets into the Thule Society, the Vril, these very dark, deep, occultic people. And Hitler himself was totally demonized. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Yet privately, and even perhaps publicly, he conceded that National Socialism was based on Marx. You know, that is just absolutely frightening.
And that, to many, that is almost an intellectual impossibility, given the facts that we are told in history books and civic lessons in high school and academia. It doesn't seem to fit, but it does. It does fit. So, again, ladies and gentlemen, please connect the dots and understand. And Sheila does a great job in bringing the present and the future plans of this criminal cabal of globalists and their really national socialist slash communist, yes, they do go together, agenda for this complete takeover of, well, our complete subjugation. And it's just this to me, Sheila, and I, we have not talked about this as much as we should. Your book, Green Gospel, really connects the dots, all 206 pages of it. And I got to tell you, it's a fantastic read. So it's an important addition to libraries, and especially if you want to talk with authority folks about really what's going on. This is more than just climate change. This is more than just Gaia worship. This connects the dots.
You know, and as the subtitle of the book, The New World Religion, Sheila, you were making reference to back to Nimrod and back to the ancient practices in Babylon. You know, we went to the Nephilim Mounds conference in Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
And we saw, and there's a book that's out that we got while we were down there that show all these different types of mounds that were set up by supposed giants who were here in North America. How do the giants in these mounds play into the Gaia worship, if at all?
Well, again, I just think if you look at the, you know, Lot, who was, again, Abraham's nephew, is really, again, the progenitor of the Ammonites. If you look at the very ancient pantheistic religions that dominated that whole time period, you mentioned Babylonian, but still Grecian, Roman, Egyptian, it started off with the Moabites. And so then you can get into Nimrod, you can get in the occult. You know, he's really the father of the modern-day occult, really. The time of Moses, you look at these Ammonites. If you actually look at what they were doing, it's very frightening forms of idolatry. And we could get into Nimrod, but again, there's so much that you could go off on another whole rabbit trail with this. I wanted to keep the book 200 pages because this is no ex of Vatican. And people said, well, I heard Tom Horn say that Defender wanted to publish this book. Well, he usually publishes books around 900 pages. So he said, if, you know, we want to publish it, but, you know, can you do it three times as big? And I thought, well, you know, I wanted to make it just so it was very generically, you know, it's kind of meant for Christians, because that's a problem with this, is it's got a very sinister, sort of deep, dark, demonized piece of this. And what's frightening, people go, well, how does this even affect me as a Christian, Sheila? Well, think about this with the help of our friend Al Gore, the National Religious Partnership, Doug and Joe. They sent out environmental literature to over 197,000. It was very close to 200,000 congregations in the West to some 500 million plus congregants. And they were calling for the church to make the protection of Earth a central message of their churches. And they were even giving out these huge Go Green grants. And even this is stunning. The evangelicals jumped on board when you had good old Huckster, signatory of the CRF. He's on the Council of Foreign Relations. Rick Warren, good old Saddleback, mega church Huckster in Lake Forest, California. He actually worked with Al Gore and got all these signatories. There was a stunning amount of signatories in evangelical leaders. So when you had this, and people can put this in a search, the Evangelical Climate Initiative. Like, think of that. You've got paganism being woven into into Christian circles, and that is the most devilish scheme in modern history. And so, again, people go, well, I don't really get what the big deal of this is. So not only does environmentalism, it brings in a whopping $100 billion a year levy that's bankrolling George Soros and Strong and Gore and all these people, but people couldn't save the planet even if they wanted to. The climate's been changing since God created it, and they know it. But man's trying to play God by changing this scenario. God's not waiting for us to solve the problem of global warming and climate change. We're waiting for him to solve our global curse with his return. So, you know, reverence doesn't pertain to things, but to persons. And, you know, this green gospel, they revere the impersonal creation more than a personal God. And that's why I think we have to be careful, because God indicts those who worship the creation instead of the creator. And like a cancer, this gospel, the green gospel, is spreading through thousands, tens of thousands of churches, Doug and Joe. And many people have no idea of what is being advanced here, because it's cloaked in the seemingly benevolent going green mantra of the day. And again, this Church of Climate Change, it is really, it's saying out with God, in with the gospel of Gaia. And people go, well, who's Mother Gaia? So you can call her Maya, Diana, Gaia, Isis. You can call
Isis from Babylon, Diana from the Greeks. Yeah, yeah, it's the same small G goddess, just different names based on the countries or regions in power. And if I can, Sheila, to back up what you said about how, you know, we're not worshiping the Creator the way that they worship the created things. In Romans chapter 1, and I'll just read verse, I'll start at 22 through 25. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changing the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to a corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to unclean thoughts, or to uncleanness through lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever and ever. Amen.
Mm. Powerful. Relevant.
Well, I have I quoted that exact scripture in Romans in my book. Funny you should bring that up. But Gaia worship, when people say, you know, I don't really get it. Well, look no further than your Starbucks coffee cup, folks.
Yes.
And Gaia worship, it's diametrically opposed to Christianity. It doesn't make any allowance for one true God who created all things of nature. But instead, this pantheistic Gaia worship, it's rooted in the premise that all the earth and all of nature is God. And like Al Gore puts in his book, the sentient being that is Mother Earth. That is just, that's frightening.
Yeah, and in the, you know, the United Nations Lucius Trust, or Lucifer's Trust, and Alice Bailey's writings, they talk about this Gaia worship, even in their new world religion that they have set up under the Lucius Trust and the UN. In their writings, they talk about how when the Christ appears, the reappearance of the Christ, Alice Bailey's books, they talk about when this new, it's what we know as the Antichrist, but they'll say that the Christ is going to reappear on the earth, or appear on the earth for the first time. The waited Messiah, what the Islam is called, you know, the Mahdi, what the Jewish believers who believe is the Messiah, and people who are New Age and don't know are going to accept as the Messiah, just as Jesus said, you know, I will not accept, but another will come after me, and he, you know, will be accepted. This person is going to come onto the scene, and they're going to have this new system of worship and religion. And in the UN's own documents, it talks about how they're going to do these invocations and holidays, and it's going to be based on signs of the zodiac, and it's going to be for the Mother Earth and for their worship. The UN actually, in 2012, released the State of the Planet Declaration, where they talked about rights for the Earth, the Earth's Declaration of Rights.
And you know what they did at that? You mentioned that word invocation. You know what was used as the invocation at that very Earth Summit you're talking about? And in Rio de Janeiro in 92, it said, from the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on Earth. The purpose which the masters know and serve, let light and power restore the planet Earth. You know where that's from? The source of light in that great invocation is Lucifer, and the plan intends to implement world government and religious, kind of like a one world global climate authority. And that's grounded in occult powers, because the creed is part of a great invocation based in theosophy. Now, you mentioned Alice Bailey, you mentioned Lucius, very astute points, because theosophy is this very eclectic mishmash of Eastern and Western religions. It's very closely aligned with Vedic Hinduism. And although the Theosophical Society originally started in New York in the late 1800s, it wasn't until Alice Bailey, and she was a hardcore Luciferian. She broke away from that society in the early 1900s and created, as you just said, Lucifer Trust, and it gained power in America. That Lucius Trust, it was formerly Lucifer Trust. So think about that Lucifer Trust, and get this. Every single thing the publishing house of Lucius, it's now Lucius Trust, prints and disseminates, its United Nations material under the IPCC. So that's a pretty devastating indictment of the New Age and pagan nature of the United Nations. You think about the fact that Lucius Trust, which was established in 22 as Lucifer Trust by Alice Bailey's publishing company, her and Blavatsky and this Theosophical Society, they actually disseminated a ton of literature. And what did they want? They had a little slick program called World Goodwill. And in fact, Alice Bailey, she called for a world citizenship that's very closely aligned with the real ID that long ago. And it's just interesting to throw this in there on a final note that Lucius Trust office, Doug and Joe in New York, was located at 666 United Nations Plaza. So there you go.
Yeah, no message there, of course. Sheila, if I can toss in, a listener had sent us an email, and this is more of a comment, but you might want to comment on this. Betty J., I'll just call her, writes, I read his book, this is global warming, the subject is global warming, and Michael Crichton's book, or Crichton, I'm not sure how you pronounce that book, State of Fear.
Michael Crichton.
Thank you very much. A little slow in the uptake here right now. Anyway, he writes, I read his book, State of Fear, quite a few years ago. In the foreword, I think that's where it was, said that the story was make-believe, that Dana was real, and he had tons of references in the back of the book, all proving there was no global warming. I wonder if that's why, perhaps, he might have died so young. Just kind of an observation there. Interesting. So, yeah, I mean, if you want to comment on that, that's up to you. But it's interesting because this is big business. This is about subjugation of humanity. This is about this. Well, this is for all the marvels, basically. This is how they're going to institute. Hey, well, let me ask you: is this the way, or at least the key part of the infrastructure for the New World Government? I mean, is this what it is? The global warming, climate change.
Well, one of your listeners last night sent me a copy of your show because I hadn't had a chance to listen to all of it. I had another commitment. I listened to the first hour, and Ross is so good. Wow. Yeah. Anyway, something Steve said on there, he was talking about the pale horse of the apocalypse. And what people have to know is the Chloros horse, it's really, and people can grab a concordance and look up pale horse and, you know, look at how the green movement ties into radical Islam and the green fog that came into the UN when Ahmadinejad was president of Iran. That's addressing the UN General Assembly. So I think a lot of these things that people just don't understand how all the green dots connect here, Doug. And Betty your name? She made an astute point. It's funny how when authors expose some of these agendas, they suddenly take, you know, trips downstairs, they break their neck, they have their shot 8 times in the back, suicide. it's amazing. Even Stanley Kubrick, when he was doing that movie with Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman, he actually was exposing some deep, dark Illuminati secrets, and he died under very strange circumstances when he was filming that movie. So it's just, a person has to be careful, you know, what they're exposing, and of course, exposing this sinister agenda. There wasn't any book out there that was talking about the key points of this. There was a lot of books on Climate Gate, and there was a lot of books on other sort of pieces of this, like the cooked books on the IPC and Michael Mann's hockey stick and climate models that are just a crock. So there was a lot of those kind of books, but there wasn't an actual book that was tying this into the Christian perspective, tying replacing God with Gaia, tying in the Pope and his encyclical and how the Pope is working lockstep with the UN. There wasn't any book that was kind of taking the culmination and the coalescence and the convergence of all this stuff. There wasn't anyone really talking about it. So I felt compelled to write this book for that reason. If I could get a truckload of books and give them out free, I might just do that in Dallas, actually, Doug and Joe. Just give them out, because this is such timely information, and there's so many people, even Christians, that are running around recycling, and they got their little eco-friendly smart car. And that's disgusting to me. And I might offend some people here, but it wouldn't be the first time. I think that anybody that's going green as a Christian, that's diabolically pantheistic and pagan. And if you're doing that as a Christian, folks, well, you need to get my book.
You know, I'm looking here on Amazon, and so many great reviews. But, you know, well, let me back up, because you did say something, and I just want to make this statement. You know, Sheila Zielinski is a good friend of the program, good friend of ours, professional colleague, and if I could say that, I'd like to believe that that we're up to her caliber. So if anything does happen to Sheila, okay, because, you know, look, you know, accidents do happen. However, I would be very suspicious. So we have your back. So for those listening, we have your back. But so many great reviews on Amazon about this. And folks, you can understand, trolls come out and they put stuff, and they, you know, I'm sure the gore followers will attempt to... You know,
any good work is going to have troll comments on it.
That's right. So,
of what the topic is,
you know, make sure that we lift up Sheila in prayer for protection, as well as practical, you know, support by purchasing her book. This is from me. Okay, you know, we don't sell books, but I'll tell you one thing: this is an important book to have, to understand. And you know, this does, you do connect a lot of the dots. You've done your homework on this. You've made it very concise. There is nothing really that you've left to chance here. A lot of truth, a lot of facts, a lot of quotes, historical data, and this really does cast an entirely different light on what's going on behind the curtain of these. People who espouse this green agenda. And it's so important to understand the big picture. And, you know, one more thing before I turn it back to you, Sheila. I often say that, I often cite the Rush Limbaugh says, you know, it's the job of the callers to make the host look good. Of course, he says that in tongue-in-cheek, okay? Now, think about that. It's the job of the callers to make the host look good, meaning him. Well, this is obvious. This is extremely obvious. It's the artifact or the consequence of guests like Sheila that make us look good as hosts. So, I mean, really, folks, this it's amazing. I mean, thank you for being a part of our program on this. No false flattery, but extremely. And I'll tell you something. You really, were you a detective, you know, in your previous years past?
I was just one of terrible bureaucrats that didn't know any better. And I mean, I really was off protecting the environment in the early days, back in like 2000 and 2000 up to 2006, when I started exposing this, because, you know, really, we think that protecting the environment as good stewards of the earth, it's a noble effort, right? So my book, it really chronicles the history of the environmental movement, its creators and their goals, but it also takes you back decades to the origins of environmentalism, because people have to have the facts. Because over the years, you know, and I get that people are passionate about saving the planet. I get that. And you might be a bit skeptical and say, well, I think that, you know, she's off on this complete other end of the continuum. And it's really interesting. I did a show recently on this book, and the comments on the YouTube video were frightening. You know, you guys talked about these jackals, the schools of piranha, the donkeys, I'll say, that's biblical, by the way. Donkeys, biblical. Jackass, I think, is biblical. But, you know, the comments on there were so relegating me to the depths of the damned, and those were the good ones. And I thought, wow, that is frightening. And it's funny, the most horrendous comments ever that I've ever saw on a YouTube channel or YouTube thread was the video I put up of David Langford and I, Pastor Langford, doing Hebraic roots and the pre-trib versus post-trib rapture. If that isn't a stream of frightening comment, I mean, this is supposedly Christians, and it was so horrendous. And I'm a big proponent for free speech, But when you get into the nastiness and swearing and just, oh, it was just frustrating, Doug and Joe. So, of course, you get the jackals and the hyenas and you get the, you know, the who's who of the whatever, call them progenitors of just stirring up the pot. And you get these COINTELPRO, I think there's some half operatives that are, you know, just trying to stir up crap. But you should see the frightening comments. And you should, Sheila, you better go research a flat earth. You know, don't even get me started on that.
There was a good write-up the other day about how the, and this is not disparaging anybody's opinion, but how the flat earth, how it's been used to show how easily one can be swayed or manipulated, or how one's thought process or belief can be changed without any real, I mean, none of us have been up in space to see for ourselves. You know, the Lord has not taken us and shown us. We know what we know based on science and how, you know, the orbits and whatnot, and through history, centuries and centuries of historical scientific data. But to see the influx of that theory and how it just took off, and then the if you don't believe this way, you're wrong, and the craziness around that whole that theory, and the unimportance of it too at the same time. As my dad would point out, you know, it's not a salvation-based issue, yet it is dividing Christians against Christians when we we get to the root of it. And that's just very concerning. You know, for all I care, if the earth's flat, that's fine. If it's round, that's fine too. Who cares? But that's not what we're here, and that's not what this is about. And we need to understand the nature of the battle.
Very astute. Because flat or round, who really cares, right? But saving the earth, that's a whole other piece of this. Saving the flat earth, there's a book title. But you know,
I'm sorry. When you said that, it made me chuckle. Saving the flat earth. Go ahead, Sheila.
Anyway, there's no disrespect, of course, to any of your listeners that support that. But I've researched incredibly. I've listened to Rob Skiba. I actually had Rob Skiba on my show last year. And that's fine. I mean, fair enough. If we only had guests on our shows that 100% believed everything that we believed, I'd have two guests, Doug and Joe. So maybe three. So that would make for a very good lineup, I guess. So I think the point is, Joe raised a really good point. The nastiness that is fueled on some of these topics, like the pre-trib versus post-trib. Now, just on record, I'm not a pre-trib fan. I don't believe we're just kumbaya, we're out of here. That's just not what I believe. But as you so eloquently said, I think this is the astute point. It's not a salvation issue. And that's a really important piece, because you could put 27 pastors around a circle, and I bet you they would not agree on certain things. But I'll tell you what, I was a pre-tribber until I read Pastor David Langford's book, Second Coming, A Second Look. And, you know, after a 40-day fast and the story behind that, well, I highly recommend people go back and look up my YouTube channel at weekendvigilante.com, or get the app. There's a new app if you type Weekend Vigilante in. And actually, it's linked there, that show, because what he raises in that show, I mean, I also remember when I got relegated to the depths of the dam when I had Chuck Missler on. And you got to remember, I didn't even know Chuck Missler was a pre-tribber, or at least a mid-tribber. I didn't know there was a separate group of mid-tribbers. But, you know, there was a lot of people furious at me for that show. But I really like a lot of Chuck Missler's work. I will always really highly respect him. But if we only had guests that believed what we believe, we'd be frightening.
Yeah, and you know, we invite people to talk on certain subjects that they're experts in. For example, you know, I've been in so many courtrooms, so many trials, so many venues, so many locations, and you call witnesses to the witness stand if you're part of the trial, and they might be a they might believe in UFOs, aliens, and be Hindus, but if they're experts in their line of testimony, the subject that they're testifying on, it's irrelevant what their belief system is unless it affects what they're testifying to. And that's kind of like, as interviewers, that's how we have to handle things. And this is how you handle it too. And you've got a great show. I just love what you do, because you do it so well and you're so very articulate, much more than we are and much more than I am. And I got to tell you that really means a lot, to listen to you. And but you know, getting back to your book, I want to ask you this question, because one thing I want to ask about the book itself and about your findings. Overpopulation seems to be, even among Christians, seems to be a concern. What in your book, and I know you address this, overpopulation is a myth, right? Talk to us about that.
Well, think about Henry Kissinger. What did he say on, you can type this in a search, in a document called NSSM 200, and it's called Implications of Worldwide Population Growth for U.S. Security and Overseas Interests. If that isn't a who's who of frightening depopulation plans, I don't know what it. And President Gerald Ford actually, Doug, signed that into government policy in 1975. So you got Eisenhower. He warned of the military-industrial complex. He commissioned a panel of scientists to study the very issue of overpopulation. And then, of course, you get into, you know, the slickster Bill Gates, who has a penchant for vaccinating everybody in the world. And, of course, he's a big depopulationist. You have frightening quotes coming out of these people's mouths, like Prince Philip, the pedophile pals of Bill Clinton and others. I mean, I'm telling you right now, these people are, they're just straight up demonized. And these are guys saying, you know, if I ever came back as a deadly virus, because, you know, reincarnation is a big priority, I'm going to come as a virus to wipe out the planet's population. And going back to that 2050 report, you know, what happened to the 250 million people? That's even on Deagle.com. And then you get these frightening characters like the Pope's, Schnellhuber is his name. People can look that up. That's his science advisor saying, listen, we need to get, and go look at the New York Times. This isn't Sheila Zelinsky saying it. He actually is a huge depopulationist. Even the Pope has said some frightening statement in Philippines. He said, well, you Catholics, you better not breed like rabbits. Well, they're typically pretty anti-abortion, but the Pope is saying things. I mean, this Pope has said so many, don't even get me started on this one world Pope recently. I have an article on calling for a one world religion panel to get together and come and just let's work through our issues. But Henry Kissinger and Rockefeller Finance Research Groups were looking into birth control, sterilants in the water, other eugenics projects by the U.S. government. So it's frightening how this all also ties into, you know, these micro stack and packs in these new smart cities where the technocrats control every area of your life. We see it happening in Oregon. Two words, Burns, Oregon, and another two words, Bundyville. So, you know, it's all part of the bigger picture of this absolute tyrannical global governance. That's what it's all about, control.
And you're right, Sheila, and they're trying to get everybody under that control to the point that people who live off the grid, who homeschool their children, are being, you know, charged with crimes, being made to be put back on the grid, or having their children forced to go back into public schools. And that's just the tip of the iceberg as far as what they're doing to get people into the system so that they can control them as part of the system. We're in the last minute or two of the program here before we let you go, Sheila. So I'm just going to turn it over to you. Let people know when you're broadcasting, where they can listen to you, where they can find your archives, and where they can get your book.
Oh, thanks, Joe. Well, it was a pleasure to join you guys again. It's so good to be back on with you guys. So essentially, people can go to weekendvigilante.com. That's where the typical radio show broadcasts. I'm 6 p.m. Eastern daily. And this week I'm simulcasting because I'm co-hosting on Dave Hodges' show. And we're, of course, on the beautiful Global Star Radio Network, which Todd is just such an incredible. That guy is a master, I'm telling you. So anyway, I'm on there this week, and we don't know how long we're going to be doing this, but we've kind of taken the two of us and teamed up because there was so much to cover, some of the breaking news and some of our sources and insiders. We had to sort of fuse sources. So that's going to be happening this week. I have a new app for smart devices. If you go to the App Store and type in Weekend Vigilante, it'll come up there. It's a great new customized app for the listeners. It's even better than Rick Wiles' app. There's a plug. So
yeah, I love your app, by the way. That's a fantastic app.
One other thing I'll just tell the listeners, this is important. I've been asked again to go to Hear the Watchman. I was originally on the agenda back in September. And anyway, long story short, I'm actually going to be in March 18th to the 20th. I am going to be attending that event and on the media panel, and maybe even doing some emceeing with my good friends Doug and Joe Hagman. So that'll be fun to get back together. And I'm looking forward to, I'll be bringing some books. So if anybody wants a signed copy or wants me to sign their book, please do get my book, though. This is 6 years of my research, and I think it's, you know, Amazon's always price chopping the original price. I think it's on there for like 20 something bucks now. But, you know, and it's, this is my first book, and I never want to write another book, just for the record, because I never want to go through this experience again. But I mean, Lord willing, we'll see what happens. But it was a pleasure to come on.